Blog Talk Radio.
This is Jasagonige, Will Blue Otter, a 7th grade grandson of Samanuka, keeper of the Holy Cherokee Ark, who during the American Revolution became first beloved man of the Cherokee, head man of the Upper, Middle, and Lower Cherokee. Please join us at 5 p.m. Pacific Time on Sunday evening and learn how you, regardless of ancestry, may gain the privilege of worshiping as you please, even using indigenous, plant-based, native sacraments. Aho. You are listening to a pre-recorded interview from the archives of Prophecy Keepers Radio. You have been led by the Spirit to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a cooperative service of the White Roots of Peace Council. Whether it be the modern Asaga of Peru, the current Kahunas of Hawaii, today's medicine people of the Americas, the Holy Ones of Africa, shamans of the East, North, West, and South, or the present-day Atawehis of the Cherokee, we bring you the traditional elders and teachers of our modern times and their confidants from the Americas, the steppes of Asia, the Holy Land, the islands of the sea, Africa, and Australasia. We have not been conquered, and we defy the established order. This is Will Bluewater, the host of Prophecy Keepers Radio, speaking on behalf of the White Roots of Peace Council.
It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's a 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's a 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow?
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. OCO, Ginalii, this is Blue Otter coming to you from the Cumberland Plateau, the ancient home of the Aniuntikwalaski, the people of the lightning and thunder, or the military protectors of the Cherokee Nation.
OCO.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Folks, the scriptures say, my people perish for lack of knowledge. We live in a world that's becoming more and more dangerous as time goes by. Millions of people are aware of this fact now and are actively preparing. Back in 2004, the folks here at Prophecy Keepers Foundation foresaw this situation and began preparing information for you. Friends, I seriously suggest that you head over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look at the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library. The Prophecy Keepers Trilogy is a 1,000-page intelligence briefing. The trilogy is a sum total of many years of collecting, collating, analyzing, and comparing prophecies from all over the planet. Before he passed away in 1985, Mad Bear Anderson predicted that someone would do exactly what we have done. Mad Bear passed into spirit in 1985 before he could realize his dream of collecting and comparing prophecies from all over the world. He said in his biography, someday someone will collect all the native people's prophecies, myths, and legends and would publish them in one place so they could be compared with those of all native peoples worldwide, and then we really will have something. And friends, you'll be absolutely shocked to find out that we discovered exactly what that something was that Mad Bear wanted everyone to know. As it turns out, that certain special something that Mad Bear was searching for and the prophecies has everything to do with your physical safety and how to protect it. Now folks, there's absolutely nothing available on the planet like this collection. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files in 222 folders. You'll also receive direct access to links that will allow you to download all 145 past Prophecy Keepers interviews. Now folks, I won't kid you, Prophecy Keepers does need money to continue to operate. We had a very close call at the end of last month. We almost didn't raise the funds that we needed to stay here on Blog Talk Radio. So please head on over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look.
And I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder. One of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse.
Please God, don't let me live my life in vain. Help me throw some sunshine on a world filled with rain. Help me help somebody. Help me help them see all the rainbows and the promises that you showed me. Please God, don't let me live my life and die without ever even wondering why. Children laugh and lovers lie, rainbows fall, angels cry. Give me something to hang on to. Give me revelations. See the crystal mountains, hear the rainbows falling. I can hear old Gabriel, I can hear him calling. Seven golden candlesticks, seven angels blowing silver horns, read it in the book of Revelation. I'm gonna be reborn. I'm gonna be reborn. And please God, don't let me live my life in vain.
County in the mysterious Ozarks of Mid-America, and our guests this week are Kevin and Michelle Henley from atimeoffire.com. We're going to be talking not only about their book, but about Mother Mary and the Marian prophecies and a lot of other fascinating subjects, and I know it's going to be interesting, especially in light of what's just happened in, along the Gulf Coast. Welcome to the show, folks. How are you?
Thank you. Fine. How are you doing?
Oh, doing pretty well. Doing pretty well. So you're there too, huh, Kevin?
Yes.
Okay. Well, what do you think about what's that? Well, first, before we get started in that, I just want to remind folks that that back in 1998, and I'm not the only person, I just found out that John Hoag, back in 1998, was going around telling people that in 2005, apparently he'd been told that, a hurricane was either going to destroy Miami or New Orleans, some major city, and it was going to have a devastating effect on the country and would change the way things are done as far as disaster preparedness. And I guess we see now that we have no real disaster preparedness. And so go ahead and tell us what you think Mother Mary and the sources that you folks work with, what kind of warnings have we been given?
Well, we've been given many, many, many warnings I think possibly the most important thing is the need for us to change our ways and to come back in balance and to honor God or the Creator, however you word that. And that's probably the most important thing because we are so out of balance, particularly in this country. But along with earth changes kind of warnings, we've been, I've been seeing for a very long time many disasters in this country. I was shown the Florida area being completely destroyed. I was also shown the area around St. Louis and the Madrid Fault being completely devastated. New York City being totally under an enormous amount of water, this huge, huge wall of water coming at it. And then, of course, the typical thing that we know of California, the West Coast will not go untouched. And basically what I've been told is that the face of the earth is going to change, that this is something cyclical, and that it's inevitable. The only control that we have is basically changing ourselves into beings of love and beings of light and respect and beauty, those kinds of things, so that we can perhaps lessen the impacts of these disasters. And those are just ones that I've been shown here in this country. They're going to happen everywhere. And, of course, this recent thing that has happened is proof of that.
So you've had similar experiences then, like Gordon Michael Scallion and Loria Del Toy, huh?
Yes.
I there have been a lot. When I was out in Utah, 10, 12 years ago, I ran into at least a dozen people that had all seen the same flooding in vision, and every one of them told me that they knew others.
Yes.
And that they knew in much more detail about what was going to be flooded and where than Scallion and some of the others themselves had revealed. So go ahead and tell us more.
Well,
tell us more.
Blue Otter.
Yeah.
You know, Michelle's been receiving these what we call apparitions of Mother
Nature. Beg your pardon?
For about 6 years, and she's in these visions. She's been. Mary has laid out to her really the changes that are going to happen to the world. And these are very similar to what other people are receiving around the world. Many, many people are opening. Many people are getting the messages. And they're coming from different sources. Now, one thing we do know is that, you know, we don't know, for example, when things are going to happen, but we do know that they're going to happen. For example, the hurricane and other disasters in the Gulf and in Florida, you know, we've been told that's going to happen, but we don't always know when. And, of course, maybe it's not so important to know when. As Michelle was saying, what's more important is that we do change. And these are the earth changes, but on the other side of the coin are all the political events that are unfolding in the world. And Michelle's also been told a lot about what's going to happen in the political events in the Mideast, in this country, in the major powers, how things are going to unfold. And again, there's an urgency. You know, we told people these messages, and of course the messages are available, but until something major happens, people sometimes aren't willing to make the changes, make the shifts. And hopefully what has happened in the southern states now with Hurricane Katrina will wake people up. We'll get them to realize that we're not in ordinary times. We're in very unusual times. We're in revolutionary times in terms of the earth and the spirit, and we must make the changes. As Michelle said, they're going to happen anyway. We're going to be pulled along kicking and screaming, or we're going to go through it, as Michelle says, moving in more and more into light, into love.
Well, that's certainly true. That's certainly true. I know. So, Michelle, how do you get your messages? Do you work with Mother Mary, or how did you get involved in prophecy?
Well, this is not, I would say it wasn't a personal a desire, at least on this level, or a choice even on this level. I was not, let's say, into spiritual things or meditation or anything of that sort, or even religious per se. Although I was born and raised Catholic, I just never fell into the church or its dogma at any particular time, although I have always had a connection to the mother, for whatever reason that is, wherever that comes from. And a number of years ago, I was in a very stressful situation in my life, and a woman I know said to me, well, you should try meditating. Well, I had no idea what meditation was, and she kind of gave me some very quick instructions or ingredients, if you will. Do this, this, and this, and meditate. And she also taught me a quick visualization technique, which I had no idea that these were spiritual things. And she just told me, you know, bring in light, white light into your body and visualize your whole body filling up and just do this every day and you'll start to feel better. Well, I did start to feel better, but in the process of all of that, I started to really take it seriously, and every night from like 9 o'clock at night till midnight, I would do this. But I wasn't looking for a result out of it spiritually. I was just getting myself relaxed is what I thought, and it felt good. And after a period of time, Mary appeared to me as a being of light, and it was outside of me. It wasn't something that was or inside of me. And she appeared there to me. I was at a meditation place in northern New Mexico. And at the time, she said to me, you know, don't be afraid. Call me Our Lady of Light, and I'll come to you every day for the rest of your life. And I was totally blown away, not so much because of her words, but because of the amount of overwhelming love. It was just incredible. And that totally, of course, shifted everything I believed as real. And then the message is continued, as she said, and they have continued. And at the beginning, the messages were about spiritual transformation, about love and goodness and all of those things that every single tradition talks about, those truths, those ways of being. And then later the messages started to get into these more heavy topics and these prophecies. And, you know, I didn't know what to make of it, except that at one point she told me that we needed to get prepared. And I was very, very, very overwhelmed by what she showed me. A lot of the visions were filled with blood and death and just horror. And she showed me the war, and this was long before we invaded Iraq. And of course, I started telling my family, and you know what they thought.
Oh yeah.
You know how that goes, and I learned very quickly. Oh my gosh, don't say too much to too many people. Are you getting me there?
Yeah, you're breaking up a little bit, so just keep talking.
Sorry about that. I began to share it slowly because I was told, you know, you can't keep this information to yourself anymore. You have to get it out. It's critical for humanity. And so, of course, then that's what I did, and it's been quite a journey.
So when did all this start? What year?
Let's see. I'm not very good with years, but I'm going to say that the meditations probably began about 9 years ago, and she started appearing a couple years after that.
7 years. Interesting.
Yeah.
So, yeah, around 98 then, huh?
Yes.
I'll be darned.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Folks, the scriptures say, my people perish for lack of knowledge. We live in a world that's becoming more and more dangerous as time goes by. Millions of people are aware of this fact now and are actively preparing. Back in 2004, the folks here at Prophecy Keepers Foundation foresaw this situation and began preparing information for you. Friends, I seriously suggest that you head over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look at the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library. The Prophecy Keepers Trilogy is a 1,000-page intelligence briefing. The trilogy is a sum total of many years of collecting, collating, analyzing, and comparing prophecies from all over the planet. Before he passed away in 1985, Mad Bear Anderson predicted that someone would do exactly what we have done. Mad Bear passed into spirit in 1985 before he could realize his dream of collecting and comparing prophecies from all over the world. He said in his biography, "Someday someone will collect all the native people's prophecies, myths, and legends and would publish them in one place so they could be compared with those of all native peoples worldwide, and then we really will have something." And friends, you'll be absolutely shocked to find out that we discovered exactly what that something was that Mad Bear wanted everyone to know. As it turns out, that certain special something that Mad Bear was searching for in the prophecies has everything to do with your physical safety and how to protect it. Now folks, there's absolutely nothing available on the planet like this collection. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files in 222 folders. You'll also receive direct access to links that will allow you to download all 145 past Prophecy Keepers interviews. Now folks, I won't kid you, Prophecy Keepers does need money to continue to operate. We had a very close call at the end of last month. We almost didn't raise the funds that we needed to stay here on Blog Talk Radio. So please head on over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look.
It was, you know, it's on one hand, receiving the information is so wonderful. And on the other hand, I would like for it to sometimes go away, because I do see, you know, the horror of things. And the thing in Iraq is just something that this is just, we're in the stages of something that's been orchestrated in ways that is beyond comprehension. And really, we've got to put a halt to it, or this is going to result in World War III.
Yeah, I agree with that statement. Well, let me ask you something. She's shown you some of the devastation areas. Has she shown you any safe areas?
Yes, she has shown me safe areas. And she has also told me that people, that she's appearing to a lot of people, and spirit is appearing to a lot of people, and these people come from all kinds of faiths, traditions, and they will be guided to safe havens, and they will bring people to them, or people will find them. And so there are areas. I know certain parts of Colorado will be safe. Certain parts of New Mexico will be safe. The East Coast is going to be cut back a little bit, so we'll have a different East Coast. And that area perhaps will be safe. I know that the area of Chicago is going to be completely devastated, and that perhaps may be by a nuclear device. And then you have the Florida area, which is going to be shifted, and along the middle of the country is going to be some massive, massive earthquake. I mean massive, like nothing we've ever seen before, and it's gonna cut the country kind of in half, is the way that I've seen it. But the safe places are all around. You know, it's not going to be like just the East Coast is going to be safe, or parts of the West Coast, or parts of the Midwest. It's just different areas. I would call them pockets of areas. And people are being guided there by the spirit. And so those of us that are in touch know different people who say, you know, I've been told to buy land here, or buy a farm here, or whatever.
So when you saw the new Madrid go, did you see it going north-south or you know, between the Boot Hill and St. Louis, or was the whole area fractured?
It was the whole area. I mean, I know that the St. Louis area is going to be completely destroyed by this. That city will no longer be. And so it's going to be pretty enormous across the entire fault line.
Huh. Interesting. Yeah, we're not directly on the fault here. We're kind of on the fringes. where we are, and we're in south central Missouri, about 50 miles north of the Arkansas state line, but we're up in the mountains. Fault naturally kind of follows the river system, and
well, see, that's another interesting thing about the visions, is that the water in the area was just flooding like crazy with this earthquake. So I don't have a scientific mind, so I can't really explain how that could be.
Well, some have seen the Mississippi River opening up to, you know, 50 or 100 miles wide, and a bigger connection between, well, a direct connection between the Great Lakes and the Gulf of Mexico, you know, via a much wider Mississippi River.
Yes, it's basically, you know, we're getting a facelift with all of this. The Earth things are going to be very different. Not completely, but very, very different.
Well, I know I've been on some, now the Catholics call people like you mystics.
Yes.
And I've been on some of the Catholic mystic websites, and some of them, there was one, I can't remember the address right now, but, you know, they were shown that the safe areas like southwestern Minnesota are going to be a haven. They'll be haven around Salt Lake City, believe it or not. And there was one other one, and I can't remember where it was. But, southwestern Minnesota, you know, it's a pretty rural area. That's where Laura Ingalls Wilder was a little girl. She wrote her books near here, about 30 miles from here, but up around Sleepy Eye, a very rural, you know, part of Minnesota.
Well, that's kind of something that everybody should maybe look at in terms of being proactive and preparation, or, you know, where are the places that people are speaking about. So that, you know, if you're in a position like what has just happened, and they say, you know, get out of Dodge, that you have some idea in your mind like, well, maybe I can go here because they said in southern Colorado it'll be safe, or in northern New Mexico it'll be safe, or, you know, in Minnesota or whatever the places are. It's just important to have a little bit of idea, a little bit of planning in there, and not to count on the government to take care of us.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
You don't count on them at all. The one thing that the elders that I work with feel is very important, and Moses felt it was important also, when people came complaining to him about people walking around the camp prophesying, you know, his attitude was, well, so what? You know, he says, I would that everyone would be a prophet. And I think it's the ultimate survival tool. I encourage everybody to learn how to obtain this gift. And, you know, so your publications can help people understand a little bit better about how, if any one book in particular, explain how people can grab a hold of personal revelation to help them be safer.
Rod, I think our last book, our most recent book, A Time of Fire, A Way of Fire, goes into this in great detail. A part of the book are the verbatim messages of Mary to Michelle, where she gives instructions about how to use light and energy to open ourselves up spiritually, move to a higher frequency. And that's the message that keeps coming through. We have to move to a higher frequency to deal with, for example, many of the diseases that are going to be coming around, to deal with the levels of stress, to deal with the actions of the government, particularly against those people who really know, who have an understanding. And as you say, that becomes the survival tool, not to rely on other people necessarily or the government, but to transform oneself. And then we will be led, we will be guided by the Spirit to where we need to be, and we will be protected, those people who really choose to live in a higher way and to make the transition with the earth.
I know years ago, before all this started with me, I saw the movie that I don't like Stephen King's stuff, but they made a movie about his book, The Stand. Actually, it was a miniseries, and it's a perfect example of what we're talking about. Only it was post-apocalypse, and people started dreaming about this woman, and they were shown where to go, and they just started working their way west. And she was somewhere in Kansas, but they ended up in going to Boulder, Colorado. But everybody was led there using dreams, and they knew exactly where they stood. And I just don't, you know, I started becoming aware and concerned about these things back in 1981, and, you know, we spent every nickel we could on food storage or preparations and, you know, and trying to deal with career and having to make moves and, you know, having all this stuff. And, you know, finally when, I guess a few years later, let's see, it would have been in the late 80s, I was told three times in 1 year that during a time of trouble that I would go to a certain place. I still don't know where that place is. I had a sense that it was underground.
Interesting.
But that I would be safe. And so I still don't know. I don't know if I'm in the right state or not. I don't even know if I'm in the right country, but I did get a peace from that, to know that, you know, even if I have to walk away from all this junk, you know, at this point in life, that would be nice.
Yes.
You know, it'd be nice to be it with as many aches and pains and as sad as I am, to be ministered to my angels.
Yeah, well, we know what you mean. You know, we've gone through the same thing. We've invested our money in preparation, in putting out the books so other people would know, and we've basically retooled our lives so that we could be oriented differently to respond to the messages that Michelle's getting, and also to be prepared. And it is a sacrifice, and there's a certain element of faith involved, but we've also learned along the way that this process, even if all these changes weren't going to happen, it's what people should do to step out of what we call the matrix. In order to really be free and find oneself, you know, we need to be free of these things, although totally free is kind of hard the way our system's set up today.
Yeah.
But it's a hard process because, you know, our experience is that we're, you know, Mary keeps pushing us further and further. She says, you can let go of more. You could go deeper. You know, you don't have to stay where you're at. And, you know, and sometimes, you know, we get scared and sometimes, you know, we have doubts. But, you know, we've held on so far. And, you know, and a lot of people now, I think, with events with the tsunami, with the Hurricane Katrina, with the war in Iraq, which is going to, Mary says we're going to be invading Iran. You know, people are going to see that change was prudent, and those that waited too long may find that they're left out.
Well, yeah, exactly. And but I'll tell you, folks, you know, when I first started this show, the first few guests, I asked and I started the show back in February last year. I asked all of my first few guests, did December 26th mean anything to them? You know, and finally I stopped asking, and then we got hit with the tsunami. And then, wow. You know, back in, and I didn't know, you know, I didn't even realize, because it happened on Christmas Day, our time, and then when I realized that because of the dateline, things were later there, and so I realized, oh my gosh, that happened on the 26th of December, and then back in August, in March of 1998, I was told, just woken up in a dream, a voice told me early in the morning that the year 2005 would be known in the future as the year of the Great Havoc, because the weather was going to become so bad that it might even affect computers worldwide. And then the voice raised itself, almost yelling at me, and said, now wake up and write that down.
I'll see you.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Folks, the scriptures say, my people perish for lack of knowledge. We live in a world that's becoming more and more dangerous as time goes by. Millions of people are aware of this fact now and are actively preparing. Back in 2004, the folks here at Prophecy Keepers Foundation foresaw this situation and began preparing information for you. Friends, I seriously suggest that you head over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look at the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library. The Prophecy Keepers Trilogy is a 1,000-page intelligence briefing. The trilogy is a sum total of many years of collecting, collating, analyzing, and comparing prophecies from all over the planet. Before he passed away in 1985, Mad Bear Anderson predicted that someone would do exactly what we have done. Mad Bear passed into spirit in 1985 before he could realize his dream of collecting and comparing prophecies from all over the world. He said in his biography, someday someone will collect all the native people's prophecies, myths, and legends, and would publish them in one place so they could be compared with those of all native peoples worldwide, and then we really will have something. And friends, you'll be absolutely shocked to find out that we discovered exactly what that something was that Mad Bear wanted everyone to know. As it turns out, that certain special something that Mad Bear was searching for in the prophecies has everything to do with your physical safety and how to protect it. Now, folks, there's absolutely nothing available on the planet like this collection. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files in 222 folders. You'll also receive direct access to links that will allow you to download all 145 past Prophecy Keeper's interviews. Now, folks, I won't kid you. Prophecy Keepers does need money to continue to operate. We had a very close call at the end of last month. We almost didn't raise the funds that we needed to stay here on Blog Talk Radio. So please head on over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look.
Yeah, they do that, don't they?
Uh-huh. And then in August, and I was in graduate school at that point. I had to do something different. My first wife had passed away just
maybe 8 or 9 months previous to that, and was looking for a way out of the situation I was in. So there wasn't enough funds for, I mean, my tuition and books were covered because I was on vocational rehab, but the cost of living in Logan, Utah was 20% higher than the rest of the country. My wife was sick and couldn't work. We couldn't find a place to live in was the problem, and the rent was $300 more a month, and we just had a shortfall. And we ate also after, you know, a semester and a half, we just gave up. We went trucking. So the following August, I'm rolling around, you know, with earplugs in my ears, sleeping. Voice wakes me up and says, "You have 7 years." And that made me mad. But that sounded like a threat. So, and I went back and I said humbly, I said, "You know, you've been telling me things since 1982. You told me that my wife Joanne was going to die during the dark of the moon. She did." I said, "You've been telling me all these things. Now you're telling me I have 7 years." And I said, "Who are you?" So about 10 days, 2 weeks later, something like that, the voice just came back and said, "I am. I am." So I went back in prayer and I said, "Well, you know, excuse me for doubting you," I said, "but you do instruct people that they are supposed to challenge the spirits," and I said, "Now I've done it." I said, "I know who you are now. You're the great I am." But that left this whole thing open about August, you know, and there have been some amazing things that have happened to me personally this month, and in the last few months, and here we go, you know, on the last few days of August, we have this tremendous hurricane down there. And, you know, I'm still not, I mean, this is the second day of September, and my head's just still kind of spinning, but I'm not sure where I personally go from here. I'm really kind of wondering myself, you know, other than knowing that during a time of trouble I'm going to be taken or will go to a place that's underground, I don't know what's next. Yeah, but I'm okay about it, though.
You know, there are a lot of places that are underground. And so there's different people preparing in different ways. And that's, you know, we have to, at that point, we have to trust. For myself, I know where I'm going to be. But we also have to be very mobile and be ready to leave from one place to another. See, here in northern New Mexico, there's different groups of people who are not associated to one another that are from different traditions, different ways, who have been guided here and are buying rural property. And my sense of it is that we may have to jump from one place to another depending on what the story is, what the situation is at any particular time in terms of politically, martial law, some sort of attack in this country, earth changes, all of those things. We have to be ready to move and leave everything behind instantly. And that really is what is critical. When the Spirit speaks to you, you don't doubt it. If the Spirit says, you know, go 20 miles and turn left and someone will be there, you just do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know that's guiding you and that's what you're supposed to do. And other people may be led in another direction. And really the situation isn't about us dying, because we're all going to die anyway.
Yep.
It's really about transforming and really becoming who each of us is, which is the I am. You know, all of that is within us, and it's just really tapping into it. That's what all of this is about, or at least that's what I've been taught, is that all of these changes are an awakening process, shaking us up and saying, you know, turn back to the Creator. Turn back to the ways of the earth. Walk the beauty path. You know, do these things. Bow your head in honor to one another, to the animals, to the creatures, to the trees, to everyone and everything. And stop this madness of materialistic pursuits that, you know, lead people nowhere.
Yep.
I say, you know, we're running really fast nowhere.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. Well, I know, you know, there's lots of folks up around Durango, Colorado. There's There's a lot of UFO contactees have been told that that's a safe place. The Hopi prophecy says that they're going to get flooding, you know, even up into Sedona, and that after the whole thing's over, everybody's going to go over to Four Corners, which is near Cortez, and they're going to start a new tribe there. And I imagine you folks are somewhere near Santa Fe.
We are in Santa Fe. And we don't intend to stay right here in Santa Fe. We'll be outside in a little bit more rural area. And I have the sense, like I've seen where I'm at. I was actually guided to a piece of property. And I just have a sense that a lot of people will come there whenever the time is. You know, the interesting thing is that it's hard to kind of see it exactly. Like, for example, I was shown that Yellowstone was going to blow. And Mary actually told me to go up there and do a ceremony. And, you know, so we went up there and did a ceremony. She said that there were underground testing, that there is underground testing going on, nuclear explosions underneath that area. And she said it was not a good thing, and that it was going to, these testings were going to push Yellowstone into blowing up sooner. So she told me, get up there with a group of people, go do a ceremony, and then get out of there quickly.
Yeah, that's what Benny LeBeau did. He was told to do the same thing when they established a lot of prayer wheels all over the country emanating out from with Yellowstone at the beginning. And after they did the ceremonies, Yellowstone went to sleep. They also prayed for California. California was in a major drought, and we all know what happened in California last year. They got so much rain, it about washed it away. And Art Bell was talking about, you know, Pahrump just turning green, which is, I don't know, it's all wild for me. You know, we had lived in the Rockies for years, and, you know, we wouldn't be against returning back there. We were just so concerned about lack of water and being able to grow stuff. I mean, the land's fertile. As long as you can get water to it, you know.
Well, it's interesting because Mary said to me, and this is something to keep in mind, she said the places that are really dry will be really wet.
Really?
The places that are really wet will be really dry. And the places that are very cold will be very hot, and vice versa.
Wow.
And you see, when I was looking for land, you know, I talked to a few people who would, let's say, know more about land than myself and Kevin. And people would say, well, you know, get something lower. You don't want up in the mountains because you can't grow anything in the mountains because it's too cold up here. We get too much snow. Your growing season is going to be short. Well, she directly led me to the mountains. And she said, you will have what you need and be able to live off of the land here.
Oh, there's no sense. There's no reason why 4,000 feet. I mean, we're in Moab, and 22 miles south of Moab, Utah, which is the middle of the desert. And we were caretakers for about a 300-acre mining property. The mine had filed on a spring up the road several miles, and they had piped water down. We had all the water we could use. We had a tremendous garden, just absolutely tremendous, and, you know, nice sandy soil, and we, you know, built it up with, did some composting, and, man, we grew some of those wonderful potatoes, and, you know, so as long as you've got enough water out there, stuff will grow. Well, this is great. This is good to know because, you know, finding real estate that's cheap enough is a problem, you know, so.
That's true. You know, another thing that's important that just came into my mind about all this, which I was told, is that we have to realize that we're looking at a solution at our current way of being and our current level of thinking. And as things move forward, our mental capacities and our abilities are going to shift, and we're going to be able to do things that we would consider miraculous, which are actually our normal state of being. And so it's like you're saying, you know, you get the dreams and you get the information, and you may call me, you know, something of a mystic because I can see, but that's really what everybody is meant to be. And during these times, we're gonna slip into that. We're gonna move into that through our work, through our returning home, returning to God, returning to the Creator, however you name it. And then we will have different kinds of abilities. So it could be, and I don't know for sure, but it could be that we will be able to manifest the rain, or control the weather, through ceremony, through prayer, or just through thought. I mean, I'm not for sure how it's going to work.
Everybody knows that the dice are loaded. Everybody rolls with their fingers crossed. Everybody knows the war is over. Everybody knows the good guy's lost. Everybody knows the fight was fixed. The poor stay poor, the rich get rich. That's how it goes. Everybody knows. Everybody knows that the boat is leaking. Everybody knows the captain lied. Everybody got this broken feeling, like their father or their dog just died. Everybody talking to their pockets. Everybody wants box and chop that there's no long stem rose. Everybody knows. Everybody knows that you love me, baby. Everybody knows that you really do. Everybody knows that you've been faithful. Everybody knows you've been discreet, but there were so many people you just had to meet without your clothes. And everybody knows. Everybody knows. Everybody knows. That's how it goes. Everybody knows that how it goes. Everybody knows. And everybody knows that it's now or never. Everybody knows that it's me or you. And everybody knows that you live forever. Oh, when you've done a line or two. Everybody knows the deal is rotten. Old Black Joe still picking cotton for your ribbons and bows. And everybody knows. Plague is coming. Everybody knows that it's moving fast. Everybody knows that the naked man and woman are just a shining artifact of the past. Everybody knows the scene is dead, but there's gonna be a meter on your bed that will disclose what everybody knows. And everybody knows that you're in trouble. Everybody knows what you've been through. From the bloody cross on top of Calvary to the beach in Malibu. Everybody knows it's coming upon. Take one last look at this sacred heart before it blows. And everybody knows. Everybody knows. Everybody knows. That's how it goes. Everybody knows. Everybody knows. Everybody knows. That's how it goes. Oh, everybody knows. Everybody knows. Everybody knows. That's how it goes. Everybody knows. Everybody knows.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Folks, the scriptures say, "My people perish for lack of knowledge." We live in a world that's becoming more and more dangerous as time goes by. Millions of people are aware of this fact now and are actively preparing. Back in 2004, the folks here at Prophecy Keepers Foundation foresaw this situation and began preparing information for you. Friends, I seriously suggest that you head over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look at the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library. The Prophecy Keepers Trilogy is a 1,000-page intelligence briefing. The trilogy is a sum total of many years of collecting, collating, analyzing, and comparing prophecies from all over the planet. Before he passed away in 1985, Mad Bear Anderson predicted that someone would do exactly what we have done. Mad Bear passed into spirit in 1985 before he could realize his dream of collecting and comparing prophecies from all over the world. He said in his biography, "Someday someone will collect all the native people's prophecies, myths, and legends and would publish them in one place so they could be compared with those of all native peoples worldwide, and then we really will have something." And friends, you'll be absolutely shocked to find out that we discovered exactly what that something was that Mad Bear wanted everyone to know. As it turns out, that certain special something that Mad Bear was searching for in the prophecies has everything to do with your physical safety and how to protect it. Now folks, there's absolutely nothing available on the planet like this collection. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files in 222 folders. You'll also receive direct access to links that will allow you to download all 145 past Prophecy Keepers interviews. Now folks, I won't kid you, Prophecy Keepers does need money to continue to operate. We had a very close call at the end of last month. We almost didn't raise the funds that we needed to stay here on Blog Talk Radio. So please head on over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look.
Well, I know I've got a friend named Dick Bauman who did a lot of research on the subject of living all things common. And this is the way that the followers of Jesus lived. It's described in the book of Acts about how they lived and had all things common. The Book of Mormon, it's a centerpiece in the Book of Mormon. But the scriptural promises that go along with this are that if you live this way, you'll be fed like stall-fed calves. In other words, all your needs will be taken care of, and it's kind of a recipe for divine intervention.
Yes.
Well, let me ask you something. Years ago, I was told that I would move to Las Vegas, and that would be my eye of the tiger.
Las Vegas, New Mexico.
The thing about it is it didn't say, and you know, so I started thinking, you know, a few years ago because Robert Ghostwolf is in your area, and I started thinking. I know there's a conference center that is probably still for sale in that area, and there's some old homesteads around, and they're. But, you know, you're talking pretty pricey, you know, areas right now. But I probably wouldn't even remember about Las Vegas, and I've even looked into place names in Mexico, but I looked a little bit deeper. Las Vegas means the Fertile Valley. Vega is a fertile place, and so and you know may very well be I might end up in that area. You know, Dottie Daigle is on the she's a close friend. She's on the Laguna Indian Reservation, about 25 miles west of Albuquerque. Robertson Ghost Wolf is not sure, you know, whether he's going to stay there or go elsewhere. But, yeah, everybody's just kind of wondering, you know. But, you know, when I heard that thing about Las Vegas, I mean, that was one. I immediately thought it was Nevada, you know, naturally.
Of course. Well, you're not going to Sin City, you know.
Las Vegas. You know, it was interesting. I had another Las Vegas connection, and it might have been something that the creator set up, because years ago, well, back in 1983, when I lived in Portland, Oregon, you know, I went in to cash a check at the bank, and the vice president of the bank comes to the window and says, "Hey, you know, would you mind coming in? You know, there's a problem with your account." Next thing I know, a cop shows up, and you know, I'm taken downtown for questioning. And the long and the short of the story is that an ex-police officer from Las Vegas, New Mexico, by the name of Paul Thomas Turgeon, had got in a gunfight and shot a bystander, innocent bystander. He went underground. And I was living in Salt Lake City at the time, and without knowing it, you know, I kind of fell into his web. He was recruiting people for a fictitious security company, and he said, "Well, we do security work for the Department of Defense, so we be sure and bring a certified copy of your birth certificate." Well, duh. Naturally, you know, a little bird told me, don't give him your Social Security number, and I didn't. But, you know, we both ended up moving to, I moved to Portland, he moved to Portland, started doing all this stuff. The cop in Olathe, Kansas that caught him told me that he did $500,000 worth of fraud in my name, but that because I hadn't given him my Social Security number, he got he used my birth certificate to get another social, got a fake DD-214 from the Air Force, and did $500,000 worth of fraud in my name, and he was totally unrepentant about it, and he said he would do it again. But because our physical descriptions were, you know, a bit the same, we didn't looked the same in the face, different coloring. He had, his teeth were kind of all jumbled, but he was, you know, he's a fat man too, and but that may have been, that may have just been a way for your career. Maybe Las Vegas, New Mexico will be the place. New Mexico is karst topography. There are a lot of caves there. There are a lot of caves here too. And, so I just kind of wait. I just kind of wait on the Creator and not too worried about it. At this point in my life, I'm semi-disabled and can't do a whole lot for myself anyway. And when I do, there's a lot of moaning and groaning and pain involved. So I just, not a whole lot more I can do other than.
New Mexico is a beautiful area, and it's one of the most, it's one of the cheapest areas of northern New Mexico right now. It's fairly unheralded compared to places like Taos and Santa Fe and things like that. So you may very well may be there along with other people, and an area we know well, and we really like that, and like it there. And, you know, Blue Otter, you were talking about, you know, the power of prayer, and that's one of the things that came through to Michelle about Hurricane Katrina, is that that hurricane was really, as many people know, headed directly for New Orleans, destroyed that city even more with a much higher death toll, but prayer did shift the tornado to the east, and as horrific as the results were, they could have been even more horrific.
Oh, yeah.
And what that tells us is something that Mary has been saying all along. She says, even with prophecies, nothing is set in stone. The nature of prophecy is to tell us the most likely path that we as individuals or collectively will follow, but we can always change that. She says that the power of our free will is so immense that if we awaken, we can change what has been prophesied, and that the situation continues to be very fluid. And so even in the last few hours before the hurricane hit land, there was a major shift because people focused on it and they made that shift happen with the help of higher powers, I'm sure. So we're walking into a very uncertain future. We know these likelihoods of things that will happen, but nothing is set in stone. And, you know, the power of prayer, the power of ceremonies, the power of our minds to really shift things. And this is, I think, part of what we need to awaken to and what many people are awakening to.
Yeah, I know that's right. You know, years ago, Art Bell and his audience did an experiment having to do with trying to, I can't remember what, it was a weather-related something they were trying to change, and they did. They turned the thing 90 degrees, and it scared Art Bell so badly, and George and Uri, they won't do it now. Which,
that's,
you know,
funny.
Well, they got 10 million people that could be doing something. But
that's exactly it. I mean, Mary has said to me, you know, it doesn't matter what religion you are if you're no religion at all. If you love, if you believe in the Buddha, if you believe in Krishna, if you believe in the Creator, the Light, the Force, whatever you name it, and you pray in whatever ways that you pray, and that intention is coming from your heart, that is what we need to do, and we can connect our prayers together. So she says to me, when you're praying every night, connect your prayers like webs of light across to everyone else in the world who is praying that day, that moment. And she said it creates more and more power, for lack of a better word. You know, we misuse that word, power. But it's really creating more light and more possibility for us. So it's a tremendously powerful thing. And our intention, this is something people don't understand. Our thoughts and our intention, they're critical. So one of the things is like with this whole hurricane situation. Well, here all of a sudden you get the news, the media, bringing on the information about the looters and people shooting people down, and there's fear and there's anger, and then everybody gets all stirred up in that vibration. It's really best when the garbage starts to come out that we remove ourselves from that and stay in a higher place and saying, okay, what's the opportunity here? What is the gift that is happening, and how can I be proactive? How can I be in the positive? Mary told me, you know, hold the space of light for these people. Hold it. Just visualize that you are holding light and literally cradling that entire area with loving light, with hope, with peace. And don't get caught into the, you know, George Bush did this and so-and-so did that, and, you know, Jesse Jackson said this, and there's looters, and there's all of that. It may be true. I don't know. But she says, you know, just hold the light, hold the love. And that's important for us.
Yeah, I used to be more of a political animal than I am now, but I just came to the conclusion, hey, old George is probably doing what he thinks is right, you know. So, who knows, you know, so you just, I don't know, it's tough call. And, you know, Mary's is right, you know, if everybody just, that's awful good advice. Instead of getting caught up in the negativity, just stay with what's positive. And but you know, the other night I was watching CBS News, and my mother's from Mississippi, from Vicksburg. It's not on the Gulf Coast, but there's a little place called Waveland, Mississippi, that was just completely destroyed. I mean, the railroad track had been moved and looked like, oh, it was just a mess. And there was one gal that, a black woman, she had lost everything. And Bob Schieffer at the end of the show at the end of the news broadcast, let this woman close the show. Basically, I won't even try to paraphrase what she said, but she said that this whole thing had been a... She was walking around making sure that there wasn't glass on the road so that no one would get a flat tire. You know, she's thinking about other people during this whole... just what a saint, you know, and I can't remember exactly what she said, but she was very positive about it and said that it had changed her life for the better. And, you know, all I got to say is God bless her.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, Mary showed me the force of that, of the water, the force of the wind literally knocked people into a more awakened state of being momentarily until the fear comes back in. But she said that a lot of people are going to be able to hold that. And she said, really, if you look at what's going on a collective scale, the earth is shifting, we're entering into a new sun, we're entering into a different way of being. We're going to go through all hell. But if we can take the opportunity, and so she says, okay, look at these people. A lot of them have suffered horrifically, and we can't take that away because every person has to have the right of dignity in their suffering and in their process. But she says, look at what has happened. Instantly, everything that we believe is true has just been shattered right before our very eyes.
Yep.
For us, for them, for everybody in this country, on this planet. All of a sudden, everything that we hold so dear, our bank accounts, our houses, our toilets, all of these things, all of a sudden are gone. And those people have an opportunity to be creative, to lead us into something different. And so that's a possibility. If enough people can come together and say, let's dream the dream different. Let's create something more spectacular out of this situation. And let's use this as an example so that we can lead the way quicker and easier into this transformation. But that's a task because we're being guided, you know. These people are being guided. The government's going to take care of you. You're going to, you know, your insurance will come through. And all of those things that we hold on to as truth we're being led back into that, and they're being led back into it. And the task is to say, okay, I really don't buy into this anymore. This is really not what's important. There's a different way, and let me tap into that. Spirit, speak to me and show me what that is and how I can create a paradise here.
Well, that's good advice. Has Mary showed you what lies beyond? Let's talk about what the millennium might be or mean or when it could happen. And has she shown you anything?
Well, she said to me that everything would be said and done by 2012. Now, when I, Michelle, say we're in the end times, I don't believe that the world is going to end. I believe that many, many things are going to change, and the way that we perceive, the way that we live, is going to be different. And I do believe that the end times brings with it a lot of catastrophic and horrible, horrible events. But I also see that there's possibility and there's hope in what I've been given, what I've been taught, in that we will enter into a new age. And Mary tells me it's the age of the goddess. And she says part of what has happened is that the feminine, and this is not as, you know, I'm pro-woman, but the feminine aspect of all humanity, of all human beings, has to return to its balance.
You're just pro-balance.
Yes, balance. And so, you know, when sometimes people say, well, you know, we're talking about the goddess.
we're talking about the feminine. Oh, that, yay, 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 we're going to switch it to the other side. No, that's ignorant. It's bringing a balance between the feminine and masculine aspects within each one of us, not male and female.
Well, I know people are starting to wake up to this whole thing. I had no idea just how much damage had been done to the theology that Jesus left behind.
Yeah.
Until I read a book called The Conflict of the Church and the Synagogue by a man named Parks, who was an Oxford University scholar, writing in the 20s. And you really have no idea. I mean, 2,000 years ago, everybody knew that the Jews were expecting a Messiah, and there was a whole bunch of people running around claiming to be Messiah. But nobody raised, they were waiting for somebody, the Sanhedrin is waiting for somebody to be raised from the dead. And then when you go into John, and you're reading how he raised Lazarus from the dead, and somebody ran and told Sanhedrin.
Be sure and stay tuned, we'll be returning in just a few moments. Folks, the scriptures say, "My people perish for lack of knowledge." We live in a world that's becoming more and more dangerous as time goes by. Millions of people are aware of this fact now and are actively preparing. Back in 2004, the folks here at Prophecy Keepers Foundation foresaw this situation and began preparing information for you. Friends, I seriously suggest that you head over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look at the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library. The Prophecy Keepers Trilogy is a 1,000-page intelligence briefing. The trilogy is a sum total of many years of collecting, collating, analyzing, and comparing prophecies from all over the planet. Before he passed away in 1985, Mad Bear Anderson predicted that someone would do exactly what we have done. Mad Bear passed into spirit in 1985 before he could realize his dream of collecting and comparing prophecies from all over the world. He said in his biography, "Someday someone will collect all the native people's prophecies, myths, and legends and would publish them in one place so they could be compared with those of all native peoples worldwide, and then we really will have something." And friends, you'll be absolutely shocked to find out that we discovered exactly what that something was that Mad Bear wanted everyone to know. As it turns out, that certain special something that Mad Bear was searching for in the prophecies has everything to do with your physical safety and how to protect it. Now folks, there's absolutely nothing available on the planet like this collection. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files in 222 folders. You'll also receive direct access to links that will allow you to download all 145 past Prophecy Keepers interviews. Now folks, I won't kid you. Prophecy Keepers does need money to continue to operate. We had a very close call at the end of last month. We almost didn't raise the funds that we needed to stay here on Blog Talk Radio. So please head on over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look.
Absolute control over every living soul.
You know, is the biblical legislature and judge and everything, law-giving body for Israel. And this really threw them into kind of a furor, and everybody's standing around going from one foot to the other, well, what are we going to do? You know, and Caiaphas, and you can go read it. And when I read it, I absolutely couldn't believe that it was left in the Bible, because it said, Caiaphas said, he told the other members of the Sanhedrin, you don't know anything. He says, if he did this, if he's the Messiah, then he should die for our nation. And the scripture says that from that point forward, they set about to kill him. And, you know, it explains why, you know, a few days earlier he had been hailed, you know, riding into an ass into the Eastern Gate in Jerusalem, and it explains why people were begging the Roman authorities, kill him, let his blood be upon us and upon our children. And since then there's been a tremendous schism between the Jews and the Christians, and most of it happened in the Middle Ages, but when you go back to that that time and isolate what was going on then, and then realize that during that period of time that the non-Jewish converts that Jesus was bringing in, within 135 years, Jesus' brother James and his successors, legal successors that led the church, at 135 A.D., they were run out of Jerusalem. And then by 333, the entire Nazarene sect was extirpated from the area. And the Gentiles, and you really don't read any early church fathers much earlier than about 150 A.D., and there's a reason for that, too, is that there began a takeover for lack of a better term, pagan Romans. And they literally overlaid and replaced a lot of the original theology that was taught.
Mary said to me, and brace yourself for this one, she said to me that the Vatican has the original writings of Jesus Christ.
I don't doubt it.
And they are holding the truth. They are holding the truth back from the people. See, there's so much that's missing from the Bible. It doesn't mean that there isn't some truth in there and some possibility to take that and transform yourself as an individual,
yeah,
if that's your faith. Because if you love, then you will transform. But there's Mary said, you know, the Vatican is, they're not good guys.
Mm-hmm.
And they are bringing down the people, and Jesus' writings are there, and eventually they're going to be exposed, and this is going to be a mess. She has said that the church is going to fall, crack in half, basically, is,
yeah,
the way she's shown it.
Yeah.
And this Pope, which I call him Darth Vader, he is a very scary guy. And I'm not saying that with judgment. He just does not have a good agenda set out for his people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sad because people are ignorant.
Yeah, you know, he's the second to the last pope, and according to St. Malachy. But, you know, the interesting thing is that even the Vatican didn't have control over what was found at the Dead Sea.
Yes.
And in cave number 4 on scroll MMT, you know, we now know scientifically, logically, that what we now know is that the Pharisees got a bad rap. We now know that the Sadducees were the ones that didn't believe in the resurrection, didn't believe in the Holy Spirit. They were the ones that were kind of the troublemakers, and the argument was going on at that time, and these Sadducees were men who actually bought their way in control of the temple about 100 years before Jesus was born, and the real descendants of Zadok, they were claiming to be descendants of Zadok, see, in Hebrew there's no vowels, but they were a false priesthood, and the real guys went out to Qumran and started writing. And the teacher of righteousness was writing, you know, about things that was going, they knew what was going on in Jerusalem. And now we come to find out that Jesus was actually ordained by Gamaliel, who was the Nazi, or the prince of the Sanhedrin. And during that period of time, prior to that, Gamaliel would not have had to have had permission of the Sanhedrin to ordain Jesus, but during that period, he had to have permission of the Sanhedrin to. So we know that Jesus was a ribbi. It's a special kind of a shmicha or ordination that you can only get during the Tanaitic temple period, during that period of time. He was an authorized teacher of the law of Moses. He was a rabbi. They called him rabbi. We know that in the Bible. But he said, observe what the Sanhedrin observes, just don't do what they're doing. They had lost touch with the people. They weren't, you know, people don't realize, you know, when you're doing temple work, you get covered from head to foot with blood because you're dealing with blood sacrifice. And they lived in their own little part of the city. They had their own bridge that they passed over the heads of the people. And over a period of years, they began to think of themselves as being better. And he was just trying to bring them down a notch or two. And the whole thing really got out of control, and Jesus said that there would be a falling away. And there was, and there was a tremendous falling away, and it's really hard to sort out what the truth was, and Paul didn't help.
Well, you know, it's interesting, Blue Otter. Back in December when we were putting together, finishing up this third book, A Time of Fire, A Way of Fire, Michelle had a series of apparitions from Jesus and Mary where she was given a teaching on the book of Revelations. And that teaching is included as part three of the book. They told her to include that in the book. And what that teaching does is it takes the book of Revelation to a different level, and you see encoded in the book of Revelation some of the true teachings of Jesus that were not apparent unless you knew the code. It was encoded in this text that John got, John the Evangelist got and wrote down. And there you see some of the true teachings of Jesus about life, about energy, about the energy centers. For example, if anyone's familiar with Revelations, at the beginning of Revelations it talks about the seven churches, that there's messages for the seven churches. Well, what that really represents is the seven energy centers.
Yep.
You see? And much of what Jesus taught never came down to us, never got included in Scripture.
Yep.
And Mary says that eventually what his writings that are in the Vatican will be released, and this will cause a tremendous controversy because the Church hadn't released them earlier. Another thing she said that might be of interest to some of your listeners, and it goes back to what Michelle was saying about the balance between the masculine and the feminine, is that there was an inner circle of apostles, male apostles, but there was also an inner circle of female apostles. And we don't hear about that, but there were females with Jesus, part of his mission, who were masters, who were adepts. And not just Mary Magdalene, but many others. They were very, very evolved spiritually. And in fact, you know, some of those women were critical to Jesus' mission. They were able to give him the energy he needed to get through the crucifixion, to go into the underworld, create a path through of light through the underworld for other people to eventually follow, and to come out through the resurrection. So there's so much that's missing, and, you know, I think we owe a debt of gratitude to people like Michelle who are bringing this information in now and making it available for the people who are willing to step outside the box and really move into a different vibration.
Hmm. Have you sent Jordan Ury a copy of your book yet?
Well, we've sent him all of our information, but he hasn't called us.
he's a Catholic himself, so.
Well, yeah. It's interesting because he's from. I grew up in St. Louis, and years ago, I heard him on local talk radio in St. Louis.
Yeah, he had a show there. That's where he had his paranormal show. Well, he was filling in from St. Louis, you know, for a long time before he moved out to the West
yeah.
Coast.
See, you know, part of the mission of Christ at that time was to bring the understanding to people about the light, about our sexual energy, not in terms of using it as sex per se, but in terms of understanding that fuel is the Holy Spirit within us. And that fuel, when we learn how to take care of it, let's say, within ourselves, that is what opens us up to Spirit and rises within us as a system. And it's a fuel. It's a one thread, one strand of fuel. We have, what I've been taught is we have three different kinds within us. And one of those is the sexual energy, which is the Holy Spirit. The other one is the energy of the heart. And so, of course, you want to move this system of energy within you so that you can rise into your normal state of being energetically. Now, that doesn't mean you go somewhere else. It's a perception and dimension within the self. And part of what Christ was about was trying to teach us that, and him and his whole group.
They were all masters, is what I was told.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Folks, the scriptures say, "My people perish for lack of knowledge." We live in a world that's becoming more and more dangerous as time goes by. Millions of people are aware of this fact now and are actively preparing. Back in 2004, the folks here at Prophecy Keepers Foundation foresaw this situation and began preparing information for you. Friends, I seriously suggest that you head over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look at the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library. The Prophecy Keepers Trilogy is a 1,000-page intelligence briefing. The trilogy is a sum total of many years of collecting, collating, analyzing, and comparing prophecies from all over the planet. Before he passed away in 1985, Mad Bear Anderson predicted that someone would do exactly what we have done. Mad Bear passed into spirit in 1985 before he could realize his dream of collecting and comparing prophecies from all over the world. He said in his biography, "Someday someone will collect all the native people's prophecies, myths, and legends and would publish them in one place so they could be compared with those of all native peoples worldwide, and then we really will have something." And friends, you'll be absolutely shocked to find out that we discovered exactly what that something was that Mad Bear wanted everyone to know. As it turns out, that certain special something that Mad Bear was searching for in the prophecies has everything to do with your physical safety and how to protect it. Now folks, there's absolutely nothing available on the planet like this collection. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files in 222 folders. You'll also receive direct access to links that will allow you to download all 145 past Prophecy Keeper's interviews. Now folks, I won't kid you, Prophecy Keeper's does need money to continue to operate. We had a very close call at the end of last month. We almost didn't raise the funds that we needed to stay here on Blog Talk Radio. So please head on over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look.
And I believe that because I can see in my own self that when you work with your own energies, when you really understand that you are a sacred being, you are not separate from anything else, that you are one with the Creator, then you can really begin to experience that in your everyday knowing and operations with people and assisting each other and really loving. And so Christ, Christ, Mary Magdalene, Mary his mother, Joseph, all of those people, the stories that are in the Bible are kind of almost hilarious. I think it's so far from the truth.
Well,
what I've been told.
Yeah. Well, are you aware that that there are certain Judaic teachings that are not allowed to be taught to people until they are of a certain age, until they are sexually active, because they know if they learn these, start studying these things too early, they can go insane.
Yes. Yes. You can. Let's say harm yourself, cause yourself harm if you're not ready.
Yeah, it's because it's, I know it sounds wacky, but, I suppose the sexual energy thing, the people in India are aware of it. I don't know anything about Tantra, but I'm sure, that's probably part of what we're talking about.
It is part of it, and it's an important part, and one of the things that's happened in modern society is that there is, let's say, an attack on us spiritually by inducing people to misuse their sexual energy, to be confused about it, to dissipate it, and we really lose our life force. And Michelle has written about that in her book, Mary's Way, Romantic Love as a Path to God, where Mary has given her the messages about how to get these things straight about sexual energy, lovemaking, sacred relationship. It's what Mary and Joseph experienced in their lifetime as the parents of Jesus, although Joseph was not the natural father of Jesus. Mary conceived through the Holy Spirit, which is a whole other story that would be interesting for Michelle to tell at some point, but also Mary Magdalene and Jesus. Mary Magdalene helped Jesus come to his highest energetic vibration through her energy and through the lovemaking. And Michelle discusses this in her book, Mary's Very Romantic Love is a Path to God, and includes these messages that Mary gave to her, because this is one of the great imbalances in our lives, in our society, in our world, not just in the United States, but throughout the world. We've lost our way in terms of this spiritual force, this God force within us, which is our sexual energy.
And part of, you know, as Kevin's talking, I'm thinking, well, part of the reason that's important for us to know right now is that is our power or our connection to that which is sacred within us. And when we connect to that, we can really offer tremendous abilities, tremendous hope, and tremendous skill and intellect, the intellect of the heart, to the situation that we're in right now, this major, major, massive transition, you know, with the Earth. I mean, if you develop that and I develop that within myself through spiritual practices, and we're not talking about sex, we are talking about through our meditations, through preparing our body as a vessel to be able to hold that light that is within us.
Cleansing the inner vessel.
Yeah, pardon me?
Cleansing the inner vessel.
Exactly. And when we can do that, then we have abilities that are miraculous. We can use those to help one another. Of course, the problem lies in that human beings have a tendency to misuse those powers when we get them.
Yeah. Well, one of the this show, beginning with this show, I'm going to be playing some music, some songs, and one of the songs I'm going to be playing during your show is Leonard Cohen's song, The Future, which was kind of the theme song for Natural Born Killers. But Leonard touches on this, you know, how we're misusing the sex act now, and how on the guy is an absolute master in the way he's written things, but he's when you listen to the song, you'll see that that people are wanting more and more control over our lives, and that we're misusing, you know, our sexuality and other things, and how it's just, you know, he said, you know, we've gotten to the point where, and he says in the song, you know, and they said, repent, repent, repent. And I wonder what they meant. You know, the guy would, you know, he said, we're so far gone, we don't even know what that means.
Yeah.
Or we laugh at it, and, you know, but they, hey, you know, the scriptures say that in the days that we're in, which is the last days, it would be as it was during the time of Noah. Well, when he was building his ark, making his preparations, everybody was laughing at him. Well, they weren't laughing when the rain started.
That's right.
And they all wanted it. It was too late, you know. And but the parable of the 10 virgins says that this is the time when we need to be gathering oil, you know, our spirituality, and that there will come a time when the door will be closed. And, you know, you might have gotten all the oil everybody else had, but when the door's closed, it's closed.
That's right.
And another song, you know, we'll be playing is Johnny Cash's song, When the Man Comes Around. And he points out that not everyone will be treated the same.
And I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder. One of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse.
There's a man going round taking names, and he decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody won't be treated all the same. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down when the man comes around. The hairs on your arm will stand up, at the terror in each sip and in each sup. Will you partake of that last offered cup, or disappear into the potter's ground when the man comes around? Hear the trumpets, hear the pipers, 100 million angels singing. Multitudes are marching to the big kettle drum. Voices calling, voices crying. Some are born and some are dying. It's Alpha and Omega's kingdom come. And the whirlwind is in the thorn tree. The virgins are all trimming their wicks. The whirlwind is in the thorn tree. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Till Armageddon, no shalom, no shalom. Then the father hen will call his chickens home. The wise men will bow down before the throne. And at his feet they'll cast their golden crowns. When the man comes around. Whoever is unjust, let him be unjust still. Whoever is righteous, let him be righteous still. Whoever is filthy, let him be filthy still. Listen to the words long written down when the man comes around. Hear the trumpets, hear the pipers, 100 million angels singing. Multitudes are marching to the big kettle drum. Voices calling, voices crying. Some are born and some are dying. It's Alpha and Omega's kingdom come. And the whirlwind is in the thorn tree. The virgins are all trimming their wicks. The whirlwind is in the thorn tree. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. In measured 100 weight and penny pound, when the man comes around.
But I was to stand beneath my window with your bugle and your drum. And me, I'm up there waiting for the miracle, for the miracle to come.
So I tried to touch. I've told the truth. I didn't come to fool you. And even though